from different church backgrounds, different size of churches. Some of us have larger churches, some are very small churches. We've all had the last few years of pandemic. I just think gathering together with nearly 5,000 other believers just reminds you I'm not the only Christian.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one who loves Jesus and wants to worship him. And I guess we have observed, as well as the last few years of pandemic, increasingly we just feel isolated and alone in our churches. And culturally, we see more and more alien, more and more dinosaur-like, holding on to biblical convictions. And to know that there are other people who are standing with me, I just think that fills me with kind of confidence and joy.
Hello and welcome to Independence, the FIC podcast on the road this week, because we're at Word Alive, and I'm here with Dave Gobbit. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Adrian. Good
nice,
to see you.
Nice to see you. We're at Word Alive. You're part of the leadership team of Word Alive. Just tell us basically what's happening this week. Give us a quick overview.
Well, it's fantastic. First time back for 3 years, so we are so pleased to be here. We've got just under 4,500 people at Word Alive this year. Nearly 1,000 of those are staying off-site in nearby accommodation. Over 1,000 under-18s, over 1,000 students. So massive gathering. And after the last couple of years of pandemic, boy, it feels good to be back.
It does, doesn't it? And tell us a little bit about some of the things that are going on here, because it's people might think they know what Word Alive is, but what kind of stuff is going on?
Sure thing. So we've got Bible teaching with Conrad and Bewe from Zambia in the morning, Bible readings. We've got seminars in the mornings with Ed Shaw and Bruce Ware, Rebecca Manley Pippett and Karen Saul. Full afternoon program of teaching and seminars, student work, evening celebrations where we're digging into the encounters with Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, the morning with Conrad in 2 Peter, and everyone studying all those books. So the toddlers and the under eights and the teenagers are all studying 2 Peter.
So I went to a Families Together session, okay. And they were doing what they call Peter's Tricky Letter 2 Peter, which is great to see.
Amazing, yeah. Teaching false teaching, or guarding false teaching against...
Yes, I say, not teaching false teaching.
Not teaching about concerns false teaching to four-year-olds, and they get them in early.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, I wanted really to ask you, not kind of about Word Alive especially, but seeing as we're here, it's good to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah.
But you're a church leader.
Yeah.
What's the value of events like this for you as a church leader, thinking about the folk from church who are coming? So other festivals are available, not just Word Alive.
Indeed.
So there's Bible by the Beach and the 3 weeks of Keswick, and there are various Keswicks around the country and lots of other things going on. What's the value of these things? Don't they, a cynic might say, well, they detract from the work of the local church because they're not the local church.
Sure.
So what's the usefulness of them?
I suppose there are loads of different uses, I would say. I think on the one hand, they provide teaching that is just a bit more specialist than local churches can provide, I think.
So give us an example.
Okay. So here we've got seminar tracks on issues to do with sexuality and gender, or issues to do with difficult family relationships, very niche topics, or a biblical theology of periods. I mean, really, we're kind of really pushing into it this year, but I just think that that there's expertise out there, and when you gather together with larger numbers of people at kind of these events, you can pull in some pretty senior teachers, scholars, people who've thought a lot about this and can encourage reflection on those areas. So that's, I guess, one area. I think another area is that we come from different church backgrounds, different size of churches. Some of us have larger churches, some are very small churches. We've all had the last few years of pandemic. I just think gathering together with nearly 5,000 other believers just reminds you I'm not the only Christian.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one who loves Jesus and wants to worship him. And I guess we have observed, as well as the last few years of pandemic, increasingly we just feel isolated and alone in our churches. And culturally, we see more and more alien, more and more dinosaur-like, holding on to biblical convictions. And to know that there are other people who are standing with me, I just think that fills me with kind of confidence and joy. So I guess that's another reason. I think it's a great watering hole to rest. We're busy people. It's a busy conference, but there's lots of places to rest, lots of fun and games, great food, entertainment for the children, stunning beaches and lovely scenery nearby. And I think getting away with your church family and being able to kind of walk along a beach together with someone who normally you're racing around on a Sunday and normal life is busy, but being away, going to a seminar together, and then kind of having, an hour just kind of catching up, I think it really does multiply the one anothering that we, as you say, rightly prioritise in local churches.
Yeah,
so I don't think it's an either or at all. I think it absolutely, certainly our desire here at Word Alive is that we serve the church in order to reach the world.
Okay. So I'm just going to turn you this way a tiny bit.
I'm rotating.
Because most people listen to the podcast, but some people watch it and they want to see how attractive and handsome you
that
are,
the right
or they want to see if the rumours are true.
Yeah.
They're not. Here's Dave Gobbitt. So tell us a little bit about the kids' work, because actually one of the things that really thrills me here is the kids' work, over a thousand
yeah.
under 18s, yeah. really engaged, getting stuck in, as you say, to 2 Peter.
Yes.
I think even in some of our larger churches these days, kids do feel alone, don't they?
Yeah.
You hear, you know, I'm the only Christian in my class,
yes.
in my year at school, if I go to school. I'm you know, I feel like I'm the only person in my year group at church. So there's a real solidarity and strengthening, isn't there, for kids to come along?
There is indeed. And so one of the distinctives that we have something called Families Together, which is late afternoon, where parents and children are learning together, which we again believe very much so. It's quite easy to just say, hey, you look after our kids, you know, guided childcare. Actually, we really want parents to take responsibility for their kids, and that's a lovely kind of forum for showcasing how we might encourage parents as well as children to learn around the word. I was reflecting this morning on the teenage work. One of the lovely things about Word Alive is that basically the teenagers who are here want to be here.
Yeah.
Very few of them are being dragged here, you know, against their better judgment. They could do other things, but they're here. And so you've got, like, I know years ago there was about 35 teenagers who came to Word Alive in the upper teenage bracket. They're 14 to 18. There's now over 200 of them, and they want to be back, and they want to be grappling with big truths and big issues and getting ready for university. One of the lovely things about the teenage work is we do a forum. We had it last night with a bunch of UCCF team. Meeting with parents of teenagers and kind of training them and saying this is what to look for as you prepare to send your kids away from home. So yeah, the joined upness of ministry, I think we can do here. It's very easy to try and kind of separate out, and we know church often we're a bit kind of isolated and separated out.
Yep.
But the more we can join up, the better. And then there's that other distinction of seeing that, you know, we believe the word is sufficient, and every part of the scriptures are sufficient. I remember years ago Vaughan Roberts was preaching on Job. I don't know if you hear, Adrian, but we're looking at Job in the main Bible readings. And so,
to be honest, one merges into another. I can't remember.
Ask Nigel Byrne. He's very good at kind of that year we studied that,
okay,
that year, this.
Right.
Job, and but we were doing them in the, you know, trailblazers for the sevens. It's just amazing. They're kind of grappling with issues of suffering and where is God in this and why is he doing that? And if for little kids to learn, I'm in awe of our team leaders and our very large numbers of staff who are seeking to be faithful to the scriptures but applying it to little people. And it really does inspire the round the year work by these children's workers and home group leaders who take ideas they get here on team back to the local church.
How do you do that wisely? So we're just kind of moving on to how you might do that as a church leader, because actually one of the challenges is when I go back to home church, the music's not as good.
Yeah.
The teaching's not as good.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of feels like a step down. So we have to keep saying, don't we, this isn't the local church. There's something dynamic and spiritual about the local church. But what advice would you have for maybe people who come along to things like this, Bible by the Beach, Keswick, or whatever it is, and go back to church and feel a little bit kind of sort of low?
Yeah.
But, you know, Mrs. Jones is back on the piano, whatever it is.
Yeah, I guess that there's a danger about that. Does that mean that we want to kind of make everything as average as it can be? I think we believe in excellence, and we want to do things for God's glory. And we need to ensure that it's not just kind of professionalism for its own sake. But we've all kind of occasionally visited another church or been to something a little bit bigger and have been inspired by that. And so I think as long as we encourage our people to say, you know, this is not the norm. This is the kind of exception. This is the holiday. You can't live your life in the holiday, but you go away to be kind of informed and inspired so that the rest of the life that you enjoy can kind of work through. So I guess, you know, we've got very good music worship team leaders who are brilliant musicians. But so for example, at the Bible reading yesterday, actually, as far as the worship band is concerned, quote unquote, it wasn't the kind of full noise that you get in the evening celebration.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a guy on a guitar and someone else playing a cello and a singer. And I think maybe someone on the keys, but it was a much more stripped down experience. There were still like 2,000 people in the Great Marquee, so you got that, and wow, the voices are the most important thing. So I think think you could approach it in the right way.
Yeah, and we do it with other stuff, don't we? So, for example, you know, I'm in the car, I put on a Matt Redman CD.
Sure.
I don't put on the CD of us singing on Sunday morning because that would probably discourage me rather than encourage me. Yes. But, you know, and that, you know, I sing along to that and sing my heart out. I don't think that undermines a local church, does it, at
all? Absolutely not. And I think pastors who come here, and there are loads of pastors who come, I'm always inspired by that. I see, you know, many pastors who, some of whom are on the team and are speaking, but many are not. The majority are not. But they're here with their church families and they're demonstrating, I'm a shepherd, but I'm a sheep before I'm a shepherd.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, obviously, it's a busy week for you, so it's a busman's holiday for you, isn't it? But, I mean, we're running an equip track for leaders. We've got 60 senior leaders coming along in the morning, which is really thrilling. And it is just interesting, isn't it? I know senior leaders, especially at the moment, are weary and tired and need that refreshment. But actually, as leaders in church, we do need to look after ourselves, don't we? We do need things that will feed us, that will encourage us, that will equip us. Actually, we need the specialist help to be able to minister to other people as well. So it's really good for leaders to come, isn't it, to things like this?
We're shepherds, we're sheep before we're shepherds. And even going into a seminar where you and a church member are going together, sitting and learning together, because rarely do the pastors sit with the congregation normally in church, that they're the ones at the front. So absolutely, it's a great place for them to learn and for pastors to learn and be encouraged. And as this equip track that you referred to, you can speak into some of the big hot topics. I think pastors are weary after 2 years of pandemic. Plus, we've had the last few years of really kind of grueling and kind of heart-rending exposés of bad leadership and the whole issue of kind of power dynamics, etc. And I think you've been able to speak right into that. And there is an opportunity to encourage pastors together while they're here at Word Alive, and I think that will only serve to encourage their spiritual growth as well as their leadership.
Yeah, and let's say a little bit, it's for all ages. Yeah. Things like this are for all ages.
Totally.
You go to Keswick, you'll find exactly the same. Yeah. There's a track, isn't there, for people with adults with learning difficulties.
Indeed.
So the attempt is to serve everybody in church, and that's, again, something that can be really strong about events like this.
Indeed, and it's funny, speaking personally, I think I have everyone who I'm related to is here at Word Alive. So,
okay.
So there were kind of parents, siblings, nieces, nephews, and it's a lovely whole church family affair, and I think... we came, you know, years ago when I was working with UCCF, and then kids came along, and now they won't let us not come. This is one of the highlights for the year for them, seeing their friends. And as church family being together, I think, you know, we've got quite a large group from Highfields, but often, sadly, even in some smaller churches, you can be a little bit siloed, and you know, this group of people know each other and that group knows each other. But when we're all together and away, we had a picnic for Highfields folks at the beach a couple of days ago, and to see the students together, the young families, the older families, some of the older folks, single folks, quite a lot from the Word Life team who are from Highfields who are serving, just to have a bit of downtime, it just fills my heart.
If you weren't here on the leadership team, you'd still be here.
Oh, surely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. And just help us think a little bit about leaders. How can we as leaders encourage people to participate in events like Word Live or Keswick or Bible by the Beach, whatever it may be? What's the kind of narrative that we need to give people that will encourage them to plug into things like this?
We absolutely don't want to be saying that this is where the action is. I'm totally passionate about the local church, as I know you guys are as well. So that's not the case. But I think seeing this as a means to serve the local church, I think that's key. If we can grasp that and we can see the take homes that something that happens here can affect back there. This is not the kind of, the gathering kind of Mount Zion experience that we all live for. No, the weekly gathered worship is where God is at work, and that's his normal means of grace that he wants to do. But I definitely think that, I think even in the story of the Bible, there are kind of the kind of rituals of spiritual growth and discipleship. You know, coming away together with large numbers of people can be so good for you. So I would just encourage you as a church leader to put this in your diary, either Word Alive or Keswick, or there are other ones, that Aberystwyth Conference or Bible by the Beach. You name it. And I honestly don't really mind. I enjoy going to all of those different kinds of ones, different slight flavours. But putting it in the diary and advertising it early. Unfortunately, Word Alive has a kind of fairly limited number of spaces. We're desperate to grow. A few years ago, we had 2 weeks, but that doesn't really work in terms of the kind of economies of scale. But we're seeking to grow the offsite, and we've got about 1,000 who are offsite. We probably could have a few more people on, and if more people came, we'd probably put up some more marquees and go that route and find out places to park our cars. But put in the diary early on, find some champions within the church who might come and really, you know, wave the banner. And if you've never been, just come 1 year And maybe if you grabbed another church family to come along as well and just watch what happens, because I think that it would snowball. Yep.
There's some other added benefits, aren't there? I think these days there are very few places you can go and see a good selection of books.
Yeah.
But most Christian events like this have really good bookstalls. And again, you know, you can't, unless you live in a big city, there isn't a Christian bookstall that you can go and you can say, well, I trust all the stuff that's there and browse the books. But you've got that here, haven't you?
Yeah.
Which is great. Missionary stands.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we're actually in an exhibition stand here and surrounded by exhibition stands. Again, there's an exposure there, isn't there, to a wider Christian world that you wouldn't necessarily get. So I don't know what it is at Highfields, but at Christchurch in Harborough, we support three, you know, we pour ourselves into three missionary connections. But actually, there's a wider world.
Yes.
We can't give ourselves to it, but it's great to find out about it and hear what's going on. So there's value in those sorts of things as well, aren't there?
Absolutely. And
and even Christian hoodies. That's where we are today on the Christian hoodie stand. So there you go, yes.
That's right. So indeed, last night was great fun. We had the first time we did a student lock-in here in the exhibition hub with all these...
Isn't that just a late-night drinking session? Isn't that what a lock-in was?
Candy floss session.
Oh, okay. So we sanctified the lock-in.
We had 800 people in here wandering around finding out about UFM and
what a great idea.
And Christian just amazing.
And actually, if you're listening or watching and you're connected to an organization like UFM or you have some sort of missionary work, actually being at one of these kinds of events is really valuable.
I think that's right. And just kind of the kind of cross-fertilization conversations that can happen, mingling around, just chatting, seeing what God is doing, it thrills me just wandering around and seeing I'd forgotten that was an important work. And we're all in that kind of strange post-pandemic rebuild stage, so chatting to some ministries here who are looking for team members still, and we've all had a kind of a two-year reset. Certainly Word Alive has been a bit like the first Word Alive ever, actually, because so many of the team are new, but coming away, seeing what's out there, and God is still at work, wonderfully so, but we sometimes need to kind of listen in and see what he's doing.
Well, one last thing, which I think is really valuable about events like this, is you gather with people that you wouldn't normally mix with. So we understand that we're both in FIEC churches. That's a kind of conviction position for us, and there we are. But we understand that we're in a wider evangelical world where the gospel is proclaimed and faithfully followed. And actually just rubbing shoulders with people who are we wouldn't otherwise meet in other circles. It's really valuable, isn't it? Really important.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes we tend to think that God's really only at work in our little tribe, in our little space, and we are seeking to model a generous Christian orthodoxy, which is as firm as the gospel demands, but is as generous as it allows us to be. And so celebrating what God is doing in the student work or in a church in London that would be very different from our kind of tribe, I think is just enriching. And it just does me good just to come away and... It does take me away from church at times. I've got trustees meetings and lots of planning things, etc. But the return in our church is just huge, and I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Well, one last thing to say about leaders, which is I think churches should be thinking about sending leaders to events like this.
Yeah.
Certainly they should be, church leadership should be thinking about how their paid staff are refreshed and encouraged and helped. And this could be part of that sort of package, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think that's right.
It's not a holiday in that sense. It doesn't need to be.
No, and think about it. In terms of budget, actually, if there's a budget for supporting leaders and pastors, unfortunately, some of these events are not cheap. That's only because
they generally are cheaper options, so they don't need to be top dollar. There can be some cheaper
options.
Absolutely,
and there are ways of doing things exactly. Word Alive honestly runs on a shoestring, and every year Pontins pushes the price up, and we keep the price of everything else exactly the same. But we just have to reflect it there. But there are other options indeed. But I certainly think if we believe as churches that the refreshment of our pastors and our pastoral teams and their families is important, then I think we'd back that by maybe a bit of kind of financial support too. So yeah.
Great. Well, Dave, thanks for joining us. Hope the rest of the event goes well. Is it event? Is that the right thing to call it? I don't
event,
know.
Holiday?
Conference. It's not a conference, is it? No. Event. Word Alive. Event. Keswick event, whatever else it may be.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
This has been Independence FIZ podcast. Thank you for joining us. You can subscribe through all the normal channels and look forward to catching up with you soon. Thanks, Dave.
Bye-bye.